Almighty God of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. As we come before you, Father, this song, to hear your word, we ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, and that you would cause us, Father, to be directed in the pathway of your kingdom, that you would raise us up, Father, on high, to be your servant, to do your will, and to overcome this world and the sinful nature of Satan the devil. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. We pray again for those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. Father, we ask that those who even have an unspoken request, that they would be heard, that you would cause your people to draw near to you, that you would cause your people to turn to you, to Shuva, to repent, Father, so that they would be entered into your fold, that they would be a part of your service, that have the one consent to serve you in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and gave his life. Father, we know that it's through his stripes that we are healed. We, Father, know that his blood is the one that cleanses us from all our sins. And as we look into your word, Father, we ask that you would truly turn our hearts to you, that you would cause us to overcome this world of Satan and the devil. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. Help us to show that love that Yahshua has shown to each and every one of us. Through his sacrifice, let us share that love with our neighbors, our enemies, and all those that come into contact with us. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, Father. And we thank you and we ask that your will be done in our lives. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated at this time. This message is entitled, A Higher Standard. A Higher Standard. We're going to start off in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. We read, And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, if this is the case, that means that when we have Yom Teruah, it's the seventh month. Even though a lot of people want to make that the beginning of the year, a lot of people want to make January the first in the Roman calendar, the beginning of the year. But we know from the word of Yahweh that Aviv is the beginning of the year. He tells us in other places, especially Deuteronomy 16:1, to observe the month of Abib. That's when we look for the green ears. That tells us that is the new year. The new moon of Abib is the new year. And that's the just song. On March the 12th, at sundown, we had our new year celebration. Okay? Now, does that make us different? It makes us servants of Yahweh if we follow and keep his commandments. He tells us that this is our new year, the beginning of the year. In verse 3, it says, Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to themselves every man a lamb, according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. So on the 10th day of this month, we have to choose our lamb. And I'm telling you today that you need to choose Yahshua HaMashiach as your lamb and not any other Messiah. He is the Son of Yahweh. He's the one, the lamb, as John pointed out in John chapter 1. He's the Lamb of Yahweh. Many other passages that confirm that. Yahshua is the Lamb. And if the household is too little for a lamb, then shall he and his neighbor next to his house take one according to the number of the souls, according to every man's eating, you shall make the account for the land. Your land shall be without blemish. A male a year old, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goat, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at evening. So this lamb is supposed to be a part of your family from the 10th to the 14th, like a pet. This lamb is a part of your household. You're going to come to love this lamb in those 4 days, okay? But in that 14th day, you have to kill it. And that's going to be very difficult. That's going to be hard to do, to take someone or something that you've become attached to and to then kill it. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel upon the houses in which they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled with water, but roast with fire, its head and its legs, and with the inwards of it. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. But that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded and your shoes by your feet and your staff by your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. Okay? It's Yahweh's Passover. It's not our Passover. It's Yahweh's Passover. Let's get the proper context so that we understand what's going on. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night and will kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the Elohim of Egypt, the mighty ones of Egypt, the idols of Egypt, I will execute judgment. See, because Yahweh's making a distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. He's making a distinction to show you that there is no mighty one other than him. All of the mighty ones of the nations are idols. I am Yahweh. I'm a Yahweh. Signs his name to the statement. And the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall be no plague be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And this day shall be for you to remember. And you shall celebrate this feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. As an everlasting ordinance, you shall celebrate it. In other words, this is going to go on and on. It's an everlasting ordinance. It's not something that can be annulled by man. It's not something that you can decide, I'm not going to do it. I mean, you can do that. A lot of people will. But this is the difference. This is the difference. Yahweh ordained it. Now, I have a question for you. Well, it says all the firstborn, and any the Jews too, if they didn't have the blood covering, the firstborn of their house would die. But you know what? There were many of the Egyptians that feared Yahweh, because they saw what he did in those plagues and the deliverance that he gave. If you turn over to Exodus chapter 9, verse 18, it says, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the day it was founded, even until now. Now therefore send, hurry in your cattle, and all you that have, all that you have in the field, for every man and beast that shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of Yahweh left his servants and cattle in the field. See? Even among the Egyptians, they feared Yahweh. It was Pharaoh who had his heart hardened because he was being hard-headed. He wouldn't let Israel go, see, to offer the oblation to Yahweh as was commanded by Moses. Now, back over in Exodus chapter 12, turn back over there to verse 15. It says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall have put away the leaven out of your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be to you a holy convocation. It's a special Sabbath day. Now, even the seventh-day Sabbath is a holy convocation. Actually, this is the first of the holy convocations, the Sabbath day. It said, in the seventh day, a holy convocation, no manner of work shall be done in them, except that which every man must eat. That only may be done by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this very day have I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day throughout your generations by an ordinance forever. Again, it's forever. A long time out of mind. It's not something that can be stopped, especially by man. Okay? And it says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, We're counting the days. You shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. 7 days. For whoever eats that which is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or one that is born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Now, are these commandments strictly for the physical Jews? It says here, whether he is a sojourner, okay? And I showed you the passage where it talks about the Egyptians that feared Yahweh took their servants in for protection because they believed what Yahweh was telling them, what was going to happen. The hail was coming, and it came. But those that did not fear Yahweh suffered the loss. But if we fear Yahweh, we're going to adhere to the covenant. Verse 21. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you lambs according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For Yahweh will pass through to destroy the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to destroy you. That's the difference, brother. There was a separation made between Israel and the nation. The nations at that time being Egypt. Now, like I said, those of Egypt that feared Yahweh, they did the same as Israel. When Egypt was being plagued, the Jews were over in Goshen. They had darkness in Egypt. They had light in Goshen. You understand? So the Egyptians learned a lesson. Said, hey, something's going on over there. We want to be a part of that. So when Israel left Egypt, there was a whole bunch of Egyptians that went with them. A whole bunch of them. They called them the mixed multitude. See? But they sought the same blessings that Israel was seeking. They went with Israel because they knew that the living El, the mighty one of Israel, Yahweh, was with Israel. And even to this day, we have to understand that Yahweh is with Israel. See, he's the living Elohim. All the other mighty ones are idols. And that's what the people are worshiping. The mighty ones of the nations are idols. They're just beings. Made up to be, you know. They might have a little power, but guess what? They fear Yahweh as well. Let's continue in Exodus chapter 12. Verse 24, it says, and you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you have come to the land which Yahweh will give you according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you say it is the sacrifice of Yahweh's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he destroyed the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head in worship. See, what most people don't realize, unless they're good history students, is Egypt was the mightiest nation of the world at that time. When Yahweh went in and delivered Israel from Egypt, he broke Egypt. He destroyed Egypt. They took the riches of Egypt. They got their wages, their back wages, for all the time that they were slaves in Egypt. See? And Egypt was never again at the height, a mighty power like it had been prior to Yahweh delivering Israel out of Egypt. So we have to think about who we serve, who we worship. In verse 28 it says, and the children of Israel went and did so, as Yahweh commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass at midnight that Yahweh killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not one house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, go forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve Yahweh as you have said. And be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people to send them out of the land in a hurry. For they said, we are all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. I hear people talk about they are walking in the favor of Yahweh. They have the favor of Yahweh. But you can't have the favor of Yahweh if you're not keeping His commandments. That's important to understand. See, the Egyptians were not keeping the commandments. They were following these idols that they were worshiping. But Yahweh had the victory over each and every one of them. Remember, this is a higher standard. This is what this message is entitled. A higher standard, because Yahweh has held us to a higher standard. He wants us to keep His covenant. His covenant is a higher standard than that which the people of this world do. In verse 36, it says, "And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked, and they plundered the Egyptians." They plundered the Egyptians. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. This is a passage that most of us are very, very familiar with. 1 John chapter 3. Page 956, if you have a sacred scriptures. Verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Everyone that commits sin also transgresses the law. For sin is a transgression of the law." So we know that what sin is. Sin has a definition. It's just not playing cards, drinking, and dancing. Okay? You know, a lot of people will say, well, that's sin. No, the definition of sin is the transgression of the law. That's what it is. It's not drinking. It's not dancing. It's not playing cards. Okay? The Bible doesn't say you can't drink. Doesn't say you can't dance. And doesn't say you can't play cards. See? That's a man's definition of what sin is. This tells you what sin is. It says it's the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. Okay? He even tells us in Deuteronomy, chapter 14, that we can go out and buy strong drink when we're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We're supposed to come before Him joyful. It tells us we can drink. We're not supposed to get drunk. We're not supposed to lose control. See, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit keeps us under control. But we can still be joyful before Almighty Yahweh. And this is one of the things we have to look at the scriptures and accept what it says and not go by what some man says sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. Okay? Now it says in verse 5, "And you know that He was manifested to take away sin. And in Him is no sin." We're talking about the Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. "Whoever remains in Him does not sin. For whoever sins has not seen Him, neither knows Him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous." And righteousness is the keeping of the Torah. It's the keeping of the commandments. Deuteronomy 6:25 tells us that. That's what righteousness is, the keeping of the commandments. So sin would be the breaking of those commandments. And see, there's a real fine difference here. He says here, "He that does righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning." To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin. They don't practice sin. They don't do these things that are contrary to the law. And that's what we have to understand. We have to know what the law is, what it teaches. There's a difference, a division that is made between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. And that's why today we're looking into a higher standard. And that standard is the law of Yahweh. It's a higher standard than the world is going to tell you, oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to keep those old laws. You don't need to go back to all of that bondage. No, the bondage that you don't need to go back to is the sin that Satan the devil is trying to get you to perpetuate every day. He's trying to get you to walk in those old ways. Not the Torah. He's trying to get you to violate because there is a demon attached to it. You think about it. Yahweh had the victory over all these demons or mighty ones of Egypt. Okay? With each and every plague, he had a victory over each and every one of their mighty ones. Now, it says, he that does sin, in verse 8, is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. To this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Yahshua came, to destroy the works of the devil, so that you would plainly see how to serve Yahweh and how to be at one with him. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him. And he may not practice sin because he is begotten of Yahweh. And each one of us has to have that seed of the Holy Spirit within us. This is the reason we get baptized in Yahshua's name, so that we can have that Holy Spirit within us, so that we will not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. In verse 10, in this the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. There's a separation there. And you can see the difference between the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil. Okay? Now, it says, whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh. If they're not doing righteousness, they're not of Yahweh. If they're not keeping the covenant, they're not of Yahweh. It's just that simple. Okay? Now, neither he that does not love his brother. And you'll have many people talking about they are doing this and they are doing that, and they are Yahweh's people. But on the flip side, they have hate for their neighbor, for their brother. Oh, man, we got this feud going back, you know, longer than the Hatfields and the McCoys. And they think they're serving Yahweh? No. You got to clear all of that up. You got to get rid of them. You got to overcome it. And this is one of the things that we do before Passover. And this next week will be a second part of this message. We're going to deal with the actual getting rid of any of those problems. Because you cannot partake of the Passover memorial, the covenant of Yahweh, with anything against your brother. Okay? I mean, we've had people go through this year after year. I'm talking about 4 or 5 years down the road. Oh, yeah, we got this issue. No, the issue should have been dealt with 5 years ago. You know, now, if we know what Matthew 5:21 says, if you know that your brother has something against you, then you need to go deal with it. Even though Matthew 18 tells them that if they have something against you, they need to go deal with it. Like I said, we'll deal with that next week. But right now, we want to get to that point where we see that division cleared up, okay? Because it's black and white, you know, to me. And I heard someone say, I can't even remember where I heard it. They said, they said, you Americans see things black and white, but we see things gray. That was on one of those shows, and it hit me. They're going to the Americans and talking to the Russians. They see things gray. They don't see it black and white. But Yahweh has shown how easy it is to differentiate between the Torah and not keeping the Torah. He says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Okay? Not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil. It was was of the devil, and his brother is righteous. So he killed his brother because his works were evil, and his brother's was righteous. Turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is a familiar passage. This is on page 88 for those of you that have the Sacred Scriptures. Page 88. Leviticus chapter 1, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the living things which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth, whatever has a split hoof, completely divided, and choose the cud among the beasts that you may eat, that may you eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that have a split hoof. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof. You can't eat camel. It is unclean to you. And the pony, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof. It is unclean to you." Now, pony is like a rat. Now, and the hare, well, that's the rabbit for sure, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof, is unclean to you. And the swine, because it has a split hoof, completely divided, but chews not the cud, it is unclean to you. Of their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. Now, my uncle showed me this when I was a kid. I don't know how old I was, but I was a kid. And I was visiting, staying with him in Pittsburgh that summer. And he showed it to me in the Quran, because he was a Muslim. And he showed it to me in the Bible. He showed it to me in both places. So when I went back to Baltimore, and I told my mom I couldn't eat pork anymore, she said, "That's fine. And we have it. You can eat something else, whatever. But, you know, we're going to eat what we want to eat. You do what you're going to do." But what I'm saying is, he showed it to me in the Bible. And we were supposed to believe in this Bible. I'm saying we're Christians. We go to church every Sunday. We are studying this. It's right in the Bible. So if Yahweh's telling me something and it's right in the Bible, am I not supposed to believe it? And yes, I did believe it. And I started to practice it. And I can't say I completely never ate pork again, but for the most part, I didn't eat crabs. I didn't have to worry about that. But being in Baltimore, that was one of the delicacies. A lot of people ate shrimp and crab all the time. But what I'm showing you here is Yahweh is showing us there's a separation. There's something that's different for his people. This is in the Torah. It's telling us in verse 9, "These you may eat of all that are in the waters, whatever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, that you may eat. If it doesn't have fins and scales, we can't eat it. And we don't." See, because there's a separation made, there's a difference. In verse 10 it says, "And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that moves in the waters and of all the living creatures that are in the waters, they are an abomination to you." An abomination. "And they shall be an abomination to you, and you shall not eat of their flesh. And their carcasses you shall have in abomination. Whatever has no fins or scales in the waters, that is an abomination to you." Right, Nyla? Yahweh detested. Now, go over to verse 43. It says, "You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, that you should be defiled by it. There are people and nations that eat rats, mice, dogs, cats." And see, you turn your nose up or you look at it as something, you know, negative, but you know, maybe they're raised that way, and in their society it's okay. But see, Yahweh is telling us that it is not okay for his people. He's making a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. It says, all creeping things that creep on the earth, them you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps. Neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled by it. For I am Yahweh Elohim. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast, and of the bird, and of every living creature that moves in the waters, and of every creature that creeps upon the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living thing that may be eaten and the living thing that may not be eaten. So Yahweh has given us a standard that we need to live by. Turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass soon afterwards that he went about through the cities and villages preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of Yahweh, and with him the 12. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Miriam, that was called Magdalene, that's where she was from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others who ministered to them of their substance. See, these women had demons cast out of them. All right? Drop down to verse 26 of 8, chapter 8 in Luke. It says, that they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he was come forth upon the land, there met him a certain man out of the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes. And lived not in any house. But in the tomb, and when he saw Yahshua, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Yahshua, you Son of the Most High? I plead you, torment me not. For he was commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for often it had seized him, and he was kept under guard, and bound with chains and fetters, and breaking the bands asunder, he was driven of the demon into the desert. And Yahshua asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion. For many demons were entered into him, and they entreated him that he would not command them to depart into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they entreated him that he would give them leave to enter into them. And he gave them leave. They understood the higher standard. They understood where Yahshua stood. See? They recognized who Yahshua was. And he gave them leave, and the demons came out from the man and entered into the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep into the lake and were drowned. And when they that fed them saw what had come to pass, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had come to pass. And they came to Yahshua and found the man from whom the demons were gone out sitting, clothed and in his right mind. He was in his right mind. See, the demons will cause you to be out of your mind. You won't be in your right mind. You'll be doing things that are contrary to the Torah, contrary to that higher standard. He was sitting in his right mind at the feet of Yahshua, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how he that was possessed with the demons was made whole. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes all around asked him to depart from them, for they were held with great fear, and he entered into a boat and returned. They asked Yahshua to leave instead of, come, stay, teach us. See? They were in fear because, see, they had already accepted that lower standard. They had already accepted the demons and the devil. The people have to make a decision in their lives. When they see things going about, they see the miracles. You see how they responded to that miracle? Instead of giving praise to Yahweh, they asked Yahshua to leave. Can you get out of here as quickly as possible? But the man from whom the demons were gone outprayed him that he might be with him. See, he wanted to stay with Yahshua. But he sent him away saying, return to your house and declare how great things Yahweh has done for you. Give a testimony of what Yahweh has done for you. That's what he told him to do. See, instead of following me, go give a testimony. And he went away and publishing throughout the whole city how great things Yahshua had done for him. So he did what Yahshua told him to do. But too often, we see many that Yahweh blesses. And Yahshua the Messiah gives a blessing to, and guess what? They forget. They forget. Turn to Psalm 50, the passage that we use during the Passover memorial. Psalm 50. The mighty El, Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down of it. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, Elohim, to shine forth. Our El comes and does not keep silence. A fire devours before him. It is very tempestuous all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Judgment is coming, brethren. Gather my saints together to me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Elohim is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify to you. I am Elohim, even your Elohim. I will not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And that goes for your cars and your houses and the things that you so readily possess that you think are yours, they're mine. Keep with the thought pattern there. Okay? I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness of it. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to all Elohim a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. See, we're glorifying Yahweh. He is the Mighty One. He is our Elohim. But to the wicked, Elohim says, what have you to do to declare my statutes? That you have taken my covenant in your mouth, since you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you were pleased with him, and have been partakers with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. And too often we do this, brother. Think about it. Too often. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. We lie too much. We know that liars are of the evil one. So when people get caught up, there are times when they go back and forth. And this is why it's so important for us to understand Psalm 51. It says, these things have you done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether such a one as yourself, but I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you that forget Eloah, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. And to him that orders his way aright will I show the salvation of Elohim. We want to see that salvation. We want to pay our vows. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We'll start in verse 1. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came and trying him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. Every time these people came to Yahshua, they were what? They were trying him. Every time. Now, why were they trying Yahshua? Because they were following their father, Satan the devil. Even though they were the leadership of Israel, they were still following the devil. But he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the heaven is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the heaven is red and overcast. You know how to discern the face of heaven, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. And this is what we have to do, brothers. We have to know where we are. We are definitely in the last days. We are definitely in the last days. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonah, the sign of Jonah the prophet. And he left them and departed. And the disciples came to the other side and forgot to take bread. And Yahshua said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we took no bread. And Yahshua perceiving it said, oh, you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have no bread? O you of little faith, why reason among yourselves because you have no bread? They had the bread of life among them. They had Yahshua right there with them. Do you not yet perceive, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not perceive that I spoke not to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? You got to beware of this leaven that these preachers are out here preaching. Then understood they that he bid them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because that teaching is an error. Now, when Yahshua came into parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man is? they say, some say John the Baptist, some Eliah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He says to them, but who say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the anointed, the Mashiach, the son of the living Elohim. See, there's a difference between the mighty ones of the world and the living Elohim. The living Elohim, Yahweh, is the one that is the mighty one of Israel. See, they came. The temple was sitting on this hill. You could see it from all around when they traveled what would be considered like Israel Route 1, going either from Asia through down to Egypt, Europe to Egypt, Egypt up to Asia, or to Europe. You had to go right through, right past. Okay? That's why the temple was built for the name of Yahweh. It sat on that hill, so when people saw that temple, they would say, what is that? And the response would be, that's the temple of the living Elohim. That's the temple of Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel. See, there's a distinction made between the mighty one of Israel and the nation. Because the mighty one of the nations are nothing but idols. They're demons. Okay? Yahweh is the only one that can give eternal life. He's the only one that can raise you up from the dead. Verse 17, and Yahshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Yonah, the son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of the grave, Sheol, shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Messiah. From that time began Yahshua to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, the city of peace, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Master, this shall never be. But he turned and said to Peter, get ye behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you mind not the things of Yahweh, but the things of men. Then said Yahshua to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life? And that's the question, and that's the reason that people have gone throughout all of these ages. Doesn't matter how much money you have, you cannot take a thing with you. See? You have to become at one with Yahweh. You have to get to that point in your life where you realize that Yahshua is the Messiah. And it's only through his sacrifice that you have an opportunity of the kingdom forever. The kingdom of Yahweh. See, that's important, brother. It's important that we come to that understanding. When Peter, who had just told him that he was the Messiah, and Yahweh had revealed this to him, Yahshua just built him up, and he turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. Just that quick. He said, so you mind not the things of Yahweh, but the things of men. And we can't be concerned about the things of men, brothers. We have to be concerned about the kingdom of Yahweh. Because this is the reason that Yahweh has brought you here. This is the reason that Yahweh has placed you on this earth. You are the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth flavors it. If the salt was all in one place, guess what? The food would be hard to eat. But it's spread out so that the world and the people around would get a taste of Yahweh and his son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his salvation, which is soon coming upon this earth. Verse 24, then said Yahshua to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render to every man according to his works, according to his deeds, according to his life. Truly I say to you, there are some of them that stand here who shall certainly not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Right after that, you had that transfiguration happen. And they were able to see Eliyah, and they were able to see Moses. It was a vision, yes, but it was for a purpose. Now, Psalm 17, turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 13 says, arise, O Yahweh, confront him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Yahweh, from men of this world, whose portion is in this life. And see, the men of this world, their portion is this life. They're only concerned about what they have to eat, what they have to drink, how much money they have in the bank. See? They're not concerned about the kingdom of Yahweh. That's where the separation is. Those that are of this world speak of this world. You can tell what's in a man's heart by what comes out of his mouth, what he's talking about. See? If he's praising Yahweh or if he's praising himself. See? Too often, and we've dealt with this, many of us, with our former affiliation, where they praise the man instead of Yahweh. They gave that man more glory than they gave Yahweh. See? And a man, according to the scriptures, says a man should be tried by his prayers in Proverbs. And each one of us are going to deal with that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, for I do not wish, brethren, to have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and the sea and did all eat the same spiritual food and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Messiah. Yahshua provided them that drink as well as that spiritual food. However, with most of them, Yahweh was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. They died in their own sins during the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither the idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and 23,000 fell in one day during Baal Peor. See, Balaam had Balak. He came to him and said, I need you to curse the sheep. And he says, how can I curse somebody that Yahweh has blessed? I can't curse them. Yahweh has blessed them. In Numbers, okay, chapter 23. You don't have to turn there. But, you know, we know the story. But what happens, he basically told them, he did give Balak the secret. He told them, you know what? You got to get them to curse themselves. That's the only way that you can succeed against them. And therefore, that's what happened with Baal Peor, which was sex worship. He got Israel to curse themselves. See? Now, it says, neither let us make trial of Yahweh as some of them made trial and perished by the serpent. Neither murmur as some of them murmured and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our warning upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore let him think that he stands, watch out, lest he fall. Too often people allow their egos to get too big. They think because they are of the right faith, they're following the spiritual rock, they're with Yahweh, but they lose sight of the kingdom because they themselves get too big in their own minds. Satan kind of pumps them up. He allows them to get pumped up. They start to worship the wrong mighty one. See? There is no temptation taking you but such as man can bear. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So he's given us that opportunity to escape before any sin, before we partake of any sin, we have a way of escape. Every time. We just have to choose it. See? Too often we claim weakness and, oh, the devil made me do it. No. You can't blame the devil. You choose the sin. Yahweh has given you the ability to overcome every sin. That's why he gave us an example, Yahshua the Messiah. He did no sin. In verse 14 it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. But I speak as to wise men. Judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of the Messiah? And this is what we say when we're partaking of the Passover memorial. Is it not a communion of the blood of the Messiah? Yes, it is. The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of the Messiah? Yes, it is. Seeing that we, who are many, are one bread, one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, have not they that eat the sacrifices communion with the altar? And see, this is what happened. He was telling them, speaking of Israel of old, that they all did eat the same spiritual food. They all ate that manna from heaven, that bread of the mighty. They all drank that same spiritual drink. But what happened? They still went into idolatry. They still went after the mighty ones of the nation, the Gentiles. And we know that the mighty ones of the Gentiles are demons. It says here in verse 19, what say I then, that a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice is sacrificed to demons, and not to Yahweh. There's the separation, brethren. You either worship and sacrifice to Yahweh, or you sacrifice to the demons. as the Gentiles did in their unbelief. They didn't know Yahweh. And I do not wish that you should have communion with demons. You cannot drink the cup of Yahshua and the cup of demons. There's a separation. You can't do both. You cannot partake of the table of Yahshua and the table of demons. Or do we provoke Yahshua to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? No, we're not. See, that's an abomination for us to think that we can partake of the cup of demons and the table of Yahshua. 1 John chapter 3. Remember, we're seeking a higher standard. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not lives in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion from him, how does the love of Yahweh live in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. By this shall we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before him, because if our heart condemns us, Elohim is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness toward Elohim, that whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and love one another, even as he gave his commandment. And he that keeps his commandments lives in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he lives in us, and by the Spirit which he gave us. Almighty Yahweh wants us to live according to that higher standard, brethren. He wants us to be separated from the world. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 14 down to 18. It says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, but what fellowship has righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has the Messiah with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? For we are a temple of the living Elohim. That's the separation. We are the temple of a living Elohim, not an idol. Even as Yahweh said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says Yahweh, and touch no unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. Remember, Yahweh makes a distinction between the holy and the common. the clean and the unclean. Turn over to John chapter 4 as we seek a higher standard. Yahshua himself is talking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. We'll start in verse 20. It's John chapter 4, verse 20. She says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Yahshua says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not." And remember, the Samaritans had been placed there by the Assyrians when after they had taken the 10 northern tribes into captivity. They placed these Samaritans from the cities of the Medes. They took them and transplanted them down to Samaria, to the northern part of Israel. So the Gentiles that were living there were starting to be consumed by the beast. And what did they do? They took a priest from among Israel, from among the Jews, to teach them the laws of the land. So therefore the Samaritans knew the covenant. They knew the Torah, okay? Because that's what she's quoting to Yahshua about our fathers. You know, sort of just like the Pharisees who quote from their fathers, from the Talmud. Okay? She said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." But see, Yahshua showed her something a little bit more. He said, "You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know. For salvation is from Yahudim, the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such does the Father seek to be his worshipers. Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman says to him, "I know that the Messiah comes. Mashiach comes. He that is called the Messiah, the Anointed. When he has come, he will declare to us all things." Yahshua says to her, "I that speak to you am he." He made an impression on her life. Because you read the rest of the passage and you see how she changed her tune. She believed. And she followed Yahshua. For our closing passage, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Remember, we're seeking a higher standard than the world. Because the world worships the idols, and they worship demons. We worship the living El, Yahweh Most High. In 1 John 5, it says, "Whoever believes that Yahshua is the Messiah is begotten of Yahweh. And whoever loves him that begat him, loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, and we love Yahweh and do his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to keep. For whatever is begotten of Yahweh overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh?" This is the proclamation. This is the statement that you have to make when you're being baptized. That Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. You have to believe this. "This is he that came by water and blood, Yahshua the Messiah, not with water only, but with water and with blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. And one, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of Yahweh is greater. For the witness of Yahweh is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He that believes on the Son of Yahweh has the witness in him. He that does not believe Yahweh has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that Yahweh has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that Yahweh gave to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And if we don't accept the Son, we don't have eternal life within us, brethren. You have to be baptized in Yahshua's name. He that has the Son has the life, and he that has not the Son of Yahweh has not the life. These things I have written to you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even to you that believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh. Almighty Yahweh has come to us. He has offered us a higher standard. He's offered us the covenant. And that covenant is the covenant of life in Jesus. If we are to be in the kingdom of Yahweh when Yahshua returns and receive that high calling to meet him in the air, then we must be a part of that higher standard, that covenant of life and peace, of the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. We have to partake of the Passover memorial, the body and blood of Yahshua the Messiah, to renew that covenant for another year. And for those who do not have the Holy Spirit, for those who have not entered into that covenant, you need to do so as soon as you can, so that you can receive that down payment, so that you can receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty Yahweh, so that you would be a part of his nation, his people, the Israel of Yahweh. Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you seek to be a part of this kingdom, the soon coming kingdom. We ask that you would prepare yourself by becoming ready for this next Passover memorial, which is soon coming upon us. I'd like to ask Brother Davis to come and close with a word of prayer at this time. Would you all rise?
Mighty Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace, at the onset of this message today, Almighty Yahweh, we found ourselves out of line with your word. So we ask that you will allow us to embrace your word and line up to it so that we'll be able to discern between the times and seasons of what your word says versus what the secular in the world say. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow us to choose Yahshua as our Lamb and always in all things. And we ask that you would give us a spirit to discern that it's your Passover and not ours, Almighty Yahweh. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow us to be righteous and not break your commandments, but allow us to embrace them and try to walk in them and live in them, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you would give us love for our brethren who we see every day and allow us to be able to go to our brethren and sistren and clear up any division amongst those of the household of faith. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would give us your holy spiritual conviction of your word so that we won't stray from your will. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you will allow your wisdom to be upon us to elevate us to your highest standard of living. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow us to embrace the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, and allow we, your children, to be in our right minds in all ways and all things. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you will allow we, your people, to give testimony and praise to you, Yahweh, and not to men. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow us not to give our mouths to evil and allow us not to use our tongues to frame deceit. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would be with us and allow us to give thanksgiving unto you in all ways and all things.
We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would allow we, your children, to yield to your Holy Spirit and be led and guided in all truths and not get caught up in untruths and lies. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you would be with us in all ways and all things so that we can be able to embrace eternal life. And for those out there, whether men or women, who got that spirit that Mary of Magdalene had, we ask that you would allow each and every one to be delivered of all those spirits, Almighty Yahweh. Allow us not to get puffed up and allow us not to be double-minded, but seek you in all ways and all things, and we'll praise you and glorify you and lift you up. We ask, Almighty Yahweh, that you allow our lives to be pure, Yahweh, things and all that is said and done, and allow we, your children, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we'll praise you, glorify you, and lift you up. We ask that you would seal the words of the teaching from Elder Davis in our hearts and minds so that we can feed off of them during the course of this week coming. We ask these and all of our blessings in your son Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
Our closing song, if you take the number, we're going to sing Days of Eliyahu. Benediction. do the benediction as well. I don't know if everybody did the Shema this morning, but turn to page 133 and we'll do the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. That's page number 133 in the little white book, Psalms and Selective Scriptures. We should all know it by heart. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, we'll say it in English. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh the Elohim with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be thoughtless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Hallelujah. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one that has joined him and worshiping him this day.